guess you're joining us right now. My name is Jackton Owusu. In just a little while, I'll be introducing you to our guests in studio. And we'll be having a very, very candid conversation revolving around communication, effective communication in the family. And you have an opportunity to get in touch with us, interact with us across our social media platforms at Hope FM Live using the hashtag Family Tuesday on SMS line 20933, or you could WhatsApp on 0717400555, because in the next hour between 8 and 9, we'll also be opening the lines for you just to ask those live questions, probably from what we will discuss in this hour, and then over and above what you really, really wanted to ask, we'll be delving into that. That's between 8 and 9. Well, joining me tonight, I have the Deputy Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Reverend Dr. Karita Mbagara, alongside Senior Pastor Sitam Thika Town. That's none other than Reverend Dr. Stanley Mungathia, who is also with us in studio. Karibu sana, Bishop. How have you been?
I've been well. Very glad to be here. Yes.
How was your weekend?
Busy. Running from one activity to the next. But very happy to be active and to be strong, healthy. Thanking God for that. And that COVID and I have not met.
Wow. We thank God. We thank God for his protection.
Yes.
Hey, we thank God for that. Because I remember last year, sometime in August, it caught up with me. But I thank God I was healed and I continued to serve God.
We are glad that you are well.
Yes.
And you are here.
Yes, I'm here to
and
testify.
So we must thank God for every day that he allows us to be alive and well.
Amen. Reverend C. Mungathia is also with us all the way from Sitam Thika Town. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Jack.
How have you been?
Very good. And thank God that you got well when you are well.
Yeah.
You can only see that by the stripes of Jesus.
We were healed.
We were healed.
Yes.
Yeah, the week has been great. Weekend has been great as well. This past Sunday, we had the regional overseer Northern, Reverend Mugambi, who came to speak on giving as an act of worship, you know, encouraging the congregation that to give is actually to worship the Lord. So we had a wonderful time just worshiping the Lord together. And also the great work the Lord doing also in Sitam Thika Town. We just were able to open the first phase of our Sunday school classrooms and what we're also calling the Sitam schools Thika in the future. We are trusting God that they will have a school also in Thika.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what's happening. But also very excited as we open up the new week, because this week also we do have revival meetings coming up Friday and Saturday. So let me use the airtime to welcome a few people who live in Thika and Nivaro to join us, you know, Friday and Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. We'll be having our revival meetings with the Reverend Jesse Moy from Sitam Buruburu, the senior pastor.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us as well. Now, tonight, we are going to talk about this whole issue of communication. We are here communicating one with one another at the family level. Yes, there is communication, and communication takes different, you know, tones and even meaning here and there. So tonight we'll want to find out what effective communication looks like at the family. But before we go there, I want us to probably look at the other side of it, because I always want to start from the other side so that we can have a good picture of where we are going. Now, when it comes to, you know, less effective or that kind of communication that is poor, what are we talking about, Bishop, when communication is poor, probably at the family level? Let's start from there.
Well, it starts with where we don't talk and where we expect the other person to decipher what is in our mind. They are expected, for example, to look at our behavior and understand. Secondly, it is bad communication when we are angry. So good communication is facilitated by the attitude or the disposition of the heart. When we have a bad attitude, when we are angry, when we are frustrated, when we are discouraged, we are likely not to communicate effectively. I know there is active and passive communication. And many times passive communication is also not as effective. We need to be actively involved in what we are seeking to communicate or to be understood by the other people. And so people who are in love, for example, communicate better.
Yeah.
People who are happy communicate better. People that have no beef, like now between you and me,
yeah,
we can communicate much more better. But if we started getting angry with one another, we start shouting.
The volume tone changes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The volume goes up, but not necessarily communication getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, those are the things I would open with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about Reverend Mungathia? You've heard about this poor communication, even bad, as Bishop has put it. What are some of the areas you're looking at?
I think it's true, because I think the word effective makes it quite, something meaningful there. But when you talk about poor communication, it's actually whereby people are not able to understand each other. Maybe for various reasons, there must be reasons why actually people get into poor communication. In other words, they don't understand each other, what they are going through at that moment, if it's a couple or whether in the family unit. There could be some things maybe that comes in the family, and they're ranging from various sources. Could be financial kind of misunderstanding, or maybe some other things in the family that maybe puts people to a situation whereby they are not able to understand each other in terms of how communication is supposed to be. Maybe look at the couple. Probably there are things that they could be going through, either that are involving the family. Is it issues of property? Is it issues of business? Whatever it is. I think when that sets in, and there's a misunderstanding, then definitely there can't be effective communication right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have heard sometimes people call this statement nailed by mouth. I don't know if you've ever heard about that injection.
Yes.
We have two people are not talking for a couple of days. I think this is definitely caused by, misunderstanding mm-hmm. between individuals,
mm-hmm.
either among the children, among the couple, or family members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what would you say, Bishop?
I could add mm-hmm. also, when we are imprecise in what we want to say, when we speak in codes, sometimes we are not understood. So that you are just giving a signal, but not the whole message. It is important for us to be clear, to be precise, so that we mean what we say and say what we mean. But there are times when we speak sometimes in code and it may be misinterpreted. Of course, again, it may come from the fact that we are not in very good terms. But there are also people who have never truly learned to communicate clearly. And that becomes a problem. And the problem of bad communication is that it calls for even further bad communication. You don't communicate well to me. When I respond, I may also respond incompletely because I have misunderstood it. And it can lead to many other problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, because you've talked about the whole area of, these two people are communicating, but they're doing it in a poor manner to the extent that it's not clearly understood. As we say in communication, there is a message, there is what you'd call a medium, and then there is the recipient.
Yes.
Now, the recipient will give feedback as regards what they have received from the sender of that message. Along the line here, probably the medium of communication at times has a bit of issues, to the extent that this person who is supposed to understand what this other person is saying, the sender, there comes a barrier or something like that brings some sort of confusion from what the other person... What you said, Bishop, is right, especially when it comes to clearly communicating and all that. Reverend Mungathia, probably you'd like to share with us now, as we go to the level of now effective. Now, Bishop has already touched on that clear communication and all that. What are some of the other factors you think are very crucial when it comes to communicating at the family level? Because we have the couples,
mm-hmm.
we have children communicating with their parents, and parents also communicating with their children.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the personal traits are what we would actually call the temperaments, you know, it's very important for people to understand each other. And because even within the couple or the children, I think temperament is what I would say that, you know, quite kind of helps a lot in terms of the way people are communicating. If I'm able to understand the temperament of my wife or my son or my daughter, somehow I think the communication will be really quite effective. And I think also in terms of, commitment to the same, I think sometimes we talk when our minds sometimes are so far. So I think it's something we need to see, that we need to value communication, because in fact, people cannot survive without communication.
Yeah.
I think there will be a lot of confusion if people actually don't talk. You know, that's what I normally say, because unless you talk, you cannot release what is inside in terms of even the way forward. So I would say that people need to be committed to this aspect of actually communication, so that if it's a couple, you see them sitting, maybe one is busy on the laptop, the other one is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe someone is, you know, talking to you and maybe on the newspaper or maybe on the television. I think we need to see, to give it actually all the, what can I say, the importance that actually it deserves. So I think we miss out in terms of what you are going through. And also sometimes we bring in, issues in life that maybe you have gone through all the day. Maybe you went out there to work and maybe things were not very good in the office with your boss. And then you are carrying all this back home. Hmm. I think it is important for us to realize that when we come home, it's a different environment altogether, that we need to entertain communication so that at least people are able to work together and there could be, you know, unit and harmony. So I would call for sacrifice and commitment, really, if people have to understand each other in the family setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, Bishop, in addition to what Reverend Mungathi has said,
I think the baggage can be taken to the home, but it can also be taken to the place of work.
It happens.
So that is important. I think he has also talked about focus. You are focused on the person that you're communicating with so that you're not reading the paper. I think there is also the question of respect. When we respect people, then we tend to communicate better and also to be better recipients, because we communicate also out of what we are receiving. But when we don't respect, you are like, if you're talking to somebody that you look down upon or who looks down upon you, the communication may also be affected. So it's important for us to honor or respect the people that we are talking to, give them their due. And I think that their due time when the communication is where we are talking, because there is also communication when I show you I don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. Even reading the paper may be communication.
Mm-hmm.
give me my space.
Yeah.
And the question of respect is important, especially in the family setting,
mm-hmm.
where either the spouses need to respect each other, the children need to respect their parents. I think it's also important to communicate in words that can be understood. For example, children may know sheng,
yeah,
but the parents don't know.
True.
And so if they try to speak to them in sheng, to speak to the parents in sheng, mm-hmm. then there may be no communication. So what language are you using? Not just sheng. If your parents, for example, don't understand Swahili or don't understand the language that you're speaking, then communication will be affected. So you almost have to change your language to the person that you're speaking to. And because we communicate everywhere we go, if I am speaking above your head, the language I'm using is so difficult, then I'm also not communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to bring myself and do an audit of the people that I'm speaking to or the person that I want to communicate to, and speak to them in their language. It could even be the language that we normally speak. For example, I could be speaking my mother tongue, but when I start speaking, for example, in proverbs and idioms,
mm-hmm.
most likely my children will not will not understand what I'm saying.
True.
And they could even go the very opposite of what I am saying. So it is important. It is very important for you to know who is it. Do an exegesis of who is it that I'm speaking to. Mm-hmm. And that what exegesis is just to say, understand
right.
the person that you're speaking to,
mm-hmm.
what level he or she
yeah.
is at, and also come to their level. That,
yeah.
I think, is important for effective communication.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I like the aspect of respect that actually Bishop is talking about,
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
you see, Jack, if you don't value something, you never give it any attention.
True.
Yeah, so if you don't value communication, which is a great asset in any relationship, because two people, you could be having property, you could be having all those things, but you see, if you don't know how to, you know, to communicate or even to, because everything in the family had to be organized through communication. People have to talk.
Yeah.
Whether it is a budget, whether it's on how to do things in the family, people have to talk. So I think I like the aspect of respect, that we need to realize there is importance actually of communicating. In other words, I would say you must realize that you need to decide. You need to have actual interest. Because if you have no interest with the communication, you won't actually communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So you must actually have interest that actually today mm-hmm. I want to talk to my spouse, or I want to have some conversation with my son. If you're not interested with something, you won't actually value that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that we need to invest, because it is something that you have to be very intentional and very actually deliberate. Because if you're coming home and you're so tired from town, you see, and maybe you come in and your wife or your spouse want to talk to you, you know, and you're so tired, you don't feel like you want her to talk. But maybe there is something that is pressing her, that I need attention on my husband,
yeah.
on my wife, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I think it's something we have to invest. And that also, let me also say, Jackton, I think also we need to give communication time,
mm-hmm.
because you can't also communicate all the time. Because there is maybe it's a couple or maybe with children, there's a very important agenda. And a number of times my wife has told me, this is not the time to talk. This agenda is so, it's so important that I have no time to talk about. Let's create time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it means you have to create time also to handle some of the agenda in the family. And that has to be also about the communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you need to prepare for the time,
uh-huh.
for the ambience,
mm-hmm.
For the environment
mm-hmm.
Where you're going to talk about certain issues, especially when they are critical issues. And I want to say, I think we are dealing with a very important topic when we are talking about communication.
Yeah.
The reason being, many marriages actually break because of communication.
Mm-hmm.
They may say it is money, but it is because they didn't communicate about their money. How are we going to use our money? What is going to be our priority? What is critical to us? Not to me, but to us. It could be even other things, but you never talked about it. The way you treat each other. For example, a husband comes home and he feels that the wife is despising him because he's always getting cold food.
Mm.
But he doesn't communicate
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
And maybe the wife is not thinking about it. It may not be deliberate. And he starts getting angry. And one day he blows up his top because of that, but it is because they didn't communicate. And it could go into a fight. And it can continue until the day, like the English say, there will be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah.
And you will blame the straw, but actually it's accumulation of things that you never sorted out. Even things to do with conjugal rights, when you don't communicate about them,
mm-hmm.
they become a problem. Of course, people, when they come, they never tell you, this is why we are parting. But I think, in my opinion, I'm quoting Chinua Achebe, the center is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And when that center doesn't hold,
mm-hmm.
all things literally mm-hmm. fall apart.
True.
When we don't communicate, things fall apart. Children become disillusioned. Children become, discouraged, because there is no communication. The father could be buying toys, bringing all the things that he needs, the children need. But the children may be craving for something else. We want your company. But when there is no communication between the two, then they will start even, breaking or going apart. There will be a drifting, a setting apart of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the person may be saying, I'm doing everything for this family. And they are not recognizing that.
Yeah.
But maybe what they wanted is something very small. What was the problem? Lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very important that we take the issues as serious as it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because you've shared concerning how communication in some way or the other has revolutionized, because you look at how a person, when they were dating each other, how they used to communicate. I know them days used letters. Right now we have emails, we have WhatsApp, we have Facebook, we have what have you, instant communication. Whereas when it comes to FaceTime, you know, communicating and seeing somebody's reaction to what you're saying, that is lacking in some way or the other, because, I don't know, people are used to what Reverend Mungathe mentioned earlier on. It's family time. The children are there using their tablets. You know, the parents are already on their phones.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to communicate with the other. Everybody is doing their own thing.
They're communicating with Google.
Yeah.
You see, they don't
but not
have...
with one another.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how can a family now, have family time together to communicate one with another in a way that is effective?
I think that's why I mentioned the word, they have to be intentional, Jack. Because I think everything we have, for everything people have to plan. Because also a family, it's a setup just like a company. The way people normally plan time, and the people plan on how to do things, the way you set your objectives? So in a family setup, as you are seeing now, the days we are living in, actually the moment you are mentioning that, I saw like my children are that corner, they're all teenagers.
Yeah.
My wife was in this corner in a computer, I am on this other corner with my gadget. It's like we can actually kill life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the life, the family, because there's life in the family. So I think people have to be intentional and actually plan and say, well, Monday through Sunday, this is how we're going to operate. Because especially whether you have younger children, I think also it depends, because some people have younger children who may not understand all this.
Mm-hmm.
Others are in different setup whereby, children are teenagers like mine. From Bishop now, children have been, now he's dealing with the grandchildren, And I think people in different seasons, but I think we need to be intentional. How do we plan our time as a family?
Mm-hmm.
There's time for breakfast, for meals. And are we able to maybe have meal together, maybe depending with your what type of your season you're in, time for devotion probably, or maybe even time to talk as a family, having a fellowship. So I think people have to be intentional in terms of how you plan your time together. And I know, as I say this, Jack, let me say also something that also, kind of breaks what I'm talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes it's because of temperaments, as I mentioned them. Some people are sanguine, and somebody don't want to hear, people are gifted, they can talk a thousand one
orators or whatever they are just
and
gifted
you said
in
we
speaking.
Are meeting to talk, we said we want to have a fellowship as a family, but one person dominates everything.
Uh-huh.
So I think if it's a wife or a husband or maybe a son, so I think we need to understand the temperaments. I think that one will be able actually to help us to be quite intentional in what we are saying. But also, Jack, I want to say we are born again. Yes, we praise God for that. But sometimes also we have culture, and we'll never kill it, because where people come from in terms of tribes, I think there's a way people also handle communication, or the way I used to see my dad and mom in the family setup, how they used to handle that. So I may not have imported everything to my family, but there's a few things I normally see the way they used to handle communication. So sometimes we may call it that culture, which sometimes may actually affect our current situation as a nuclear family now at the moment. And also sometimes there are people who say, I'm not saying we carry the baggage of the culture, but I was seeing my father, when he started speaking, everybody must be quiet until it's through. So, and that is something that I should not be able to carry. So, but you see, we are talking to people who could be carrying those baggages of culture. Sometimes it can actually affect, our families at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Bishop, you'd like to add something on that before we carry on?
Well, I think he has brought a very important aspect in communication, the issue of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we all come from different cultures. And it is not homogeneous. Even within a certain ethnic group, there will be differences. And it is important for me to recognize that there are those norms that I carry from my culture. Mm-hmm. There are those things that my wife comes with.
Right.
Yeah, and when we come together, we bring a different culture, a subculture in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to honor that and respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important for us to recognize. And yes, communication will be affected by, am I introverted? Am I the person who observes and doesn't speak? Am I the person who always speaks, who even puts his foot on the mouth because you are too quick in speaking?
Yeah.
And we need to be aware. And even the person that I am communicating with, all those factors will affect the way we communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, in the next hour, we'll have your live questions answered. We'll be looking at them. What you need to do is to send your question to 20933 or WhatsApp on 0717-400-555, as we'll be looking at those questions, even revolving what we've talked about in this hour, communication, a very, very important subject that will help in our relationship. Even with God, you know, we communicate with our Father, we pray, we get to hear His word spoken to us. Do we understand and then apply what He has spoken to us, right? 20933 on SMS line, WhatsApp 0717-400-555, across our social media platforms at Hope FM Live.
This is where life begins and love never ends.
God has given such details about what family ought to be.
Family Tuesday on Breath of Heaven.
You cannot evaluate a family by a temporary situation.
Two people are better than one because they can help each other succeed.
Is Family Tuesday on Breath of Heaven.
Tasted of Your Power, music by Masi Chinua, playing on Hope FM. Listen and leave. It is now 10 minutes past 8. Welcome to the second hour of Breath of Heaven, Family Tuesday. My name is Jackton Omusi, and tonight I am hosting two gentlemen here, Reverend Dr. Karita Mbagara, Deputy Bishop of Sitem, as well as Senior Pastor Sitem Thika Town is here with us, Reverend Dr. Stanley Mungathia, who will be looking at your questions now, even as we give you an opportunity to ask them. 20933 on SMS line, WhatsApp 0717-400-555. A question that you really, really desire, you know, to allow us to look at, then this is the opportunity that you have. Well, let's look at this one here, coming through from Jimmy. And he says, I want help from men of God. My parents have raised me till here I am. And from my childhood, I have grown being free to my mom only. But my dad, he always spends time at his job. And sitaogopa kusema, I am too shy. Nikiongea na yeye, that is dad, naelekea kuwa. Huwa na sweat. Yeah? Akiongea na baba na sweat. Nikimaliza kuongea na yeye. I need ideas. What can I do to be able to communicate effectively to my dad, a bishop?
King Arthur said, try again.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a formula. It's just keep on trying. Keep on making effort to speak to him. I think I would say that over time, you will be able to overcome. It's very difficult to say that this is the formula, A, B, C, D, so that you're able to speak. Because even like standing before the public, it's the greatest fear in the world, we are told by researchers. And we overcome it by trying and trying, especially when we are not naturally disposed towards speaking to people. And of course, when you're, like he says, he grew up, he was conditioned to that. You need to accept that it is a conditioning. It has gone on for a long time, so that that has become like your reality. But you can change it. Behavior is learned, it can be unlearned. So it's possible, but the thing is, keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
And one day you'll be surprised that you'll be able to speak freely.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it also depends on the response of your father. But as you keep on speaking, you'll get to a place where he will also respond. And especially if he is a talkative person out there, it means he can also learn to speak to you. So I'll tell him, sweat today, sweat tomorrow, sweat the day after.
Yeah.
The sweat will keep on decreasing,
mm-hmm,
until you get to a place where actually you are not sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You'd like to advise this brother in addition to that?
Yes, mm-hmm. Jimmy also had a dad, and my dad was so busy. Every day would leave very early in the morning, come back when it was dark. You know, it's like we couldn't get some time to talk to my dad, my late dad for that matter. But Jimmy, the fact is, you don't have another father. This is the only father you have.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you go, and as Bishop said, you have to keep on trying. But I think there are a few things probably you may need to look at, maybe so that I can maybe help you. I think the first one is to know maybe his timing, so that you know exactly what would be the best time to, you know, get attention of my father, because you have to know about his schedules, because he could be a busy person, and maybe because of his busy schedules, he's not able to give you attention. So maybe you may need to know about his maybe his time, but also probably you can also ask him, "Mom, you know, I hope the beauty is at least you're having I am happy to know that you have a good conversation with your mom." You can also ask also some of the tips on how to talk to Mzee. And maybe you never know, maybe she can be able to share with you maybe a few tips on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the point is, I think you to succeed at the end of the day, if you're able to maybe to embrace a few facts, or now actually to engage your father.
Mm-hmm.
And I think seeking his attention, and Jimmy, I'll tell you one day you'll be able to give your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably as we're still in dealing with that question, is it that boys are more free with their moms and ladies, girls are more free with their dads? Is it true, Bishop?
I have heard the theory.
Or is it a myth?
I have no scientific data to support it, but it seems like that is the case. But I can't say for sure that is always the case. And there are men who can easily talk with their sons. Obviously, it is best when it is coming from the older to the younger to give the freedom. If I give my sons the freedom to talk to me, it makes it easier for them. And that is part of the parenting process that we should participate in as men, and give assurance that it will be well to our sons, and because they grew up as children, we were grown-ups. When they were younger, they saw us as giants. And even our voices, because they were broken and theirs were not, we were intimidating. So here I'm appealing to the fathers to actually make it easier for their sons. Those who are listening to us, if you are a father, make it easy for your children.
Mm-hmm.
You asked about father, son, and father, mother.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it is possible either way, but it seems by observation, without any statistical data, that indeed men get closer to their mothers than their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
But we can do something about it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Well, let's look at another question coming through right now. This is from a friend who says, are there levels in salvation? For instance, God has been answering me through my thoughts instantly. what I was asking myself or thinking. Another person needs to pray and wait for a long time to be answered by God. So they're asking, are there levels in salvation? Reverend Mungathya probably would like
we
to
didn't get to know the name of this person, mm-hmm. but
Cecilia. Call her Cecilia.
Cecilia, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I think there isn't any levels of salvation on sea, so that God won't speak to maybe somebody who got born again 1 year, 1 day, maybe somebody 1 year. I think the Lord is able to speak to us at any, you know, at any time, as long as we are calling and our relationship is okay with Him. And mostly through prayer, because when we pray, God hears us, you know, through studying His word, you know, through fellowshipping with other people, you know, going for a church. I think the Lord is able to speak to anyone. You don't have to be like God speaks, you know, in terms of level of salvation. Mm-hmm. I'm now 10 years in salvation, I'm going to hear God differently. I think the Lord speaks to us if we ever to listen. I think we have to cultivate also the act of listening,
mm-hmm.
so that we can hear God when He's actually speaking,
mm-hmm.
at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe also to add to that, it is to say that different people hear God from different mediums. There are people who are able to reflect through nature and be able to hear God speaking to them by observation. There are people who, for example, hear God through visions and dreams, and not everybody is like that. There are people like Cecilia who are able to get ideas. There are people who can hear with, you know, more than one. Some are three, but you can't say this is the only one. In terms of your maturity, you will just become more clear in whichever method God uses or God has gifted you in to listen to Him. But it is not that when you hear God like Cecilia, you are more mature or less mature than the person who is able to listen to God and hear Him when they read His word. And definitely every one of us should hear God through His word. But like those questions that are not necessarily in Scripture, and you're asking God, there are different ways that God will speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we should never look down on those who either, you know, and perhaps they wait too long because they are pursuing somebody else's way of hearing, as opposed to recognizing, this is the way that God speaks to me. This is how I am able to discern the voice of God. But if you know yours and you pursue it, you will become better and better in that particular aspect of God speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And there are many, of course, because I'm very careful,
we just want not to be sure about God,
because of things that are
very careful in terms of various noises
and other distractors. I think because to me, God speaks all the time. And so you have to develop that as a heart so that you can be able actually to know when you're going to seek the Lord. Because you can even attend a prayer service, but mm-hmm. if you're not intentional in terms of listening to God, you can hear people are praying all over the place and you may not actually be able to concentrate. So for me, you have to learn that it's an act, you know, that when you go before the Lord, you actually need to hear Him and avoid some other things that could actually distract you from listening to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to say that sometimes maturity is also an aspect, because Cecilia was asking about salvation, the levels of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that, you know, as you continue to grow as a believer, you actually develop some, you know, disciplines, you know, that, like, for example, we normally call spiritual discipline or prayer or fasting or some other things that is somehow will get you close actually to hear God in a clear way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some addition I wanted to make there.
All right.
Yeah, Jack.
Thank you. Let's look at another question here from a lady. 34-year-old single lady looking and praying for a born-again single man, but I don't go out much because of a physical disability for many years. Pastor, can I find a single born-again man who doesn't mind dating a lady who has a physical disability? And that's the lady there. What would you like to tell her, Bishop?
Yes, it is possible. And I think what you need to do is to bring this to God in prayer, because God can bring that person where you are. Because as you have said, it is because of disability that you are not able to go where you can better interact with people. But when it is God at work, he knows even when you are behind the Chinese wall, as it were, because this is just like the Chinese wall, as far as God is concerned. So he is able to bring that person that is right for you, and that will accept you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that is too hard for God.
Mm-hmm. Mm. He is able.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Jack, I'm sure you have seen also many weddings being done between, people, who, blind people,
mm-hmm.
Disabled people. So we are seeing it happening. So I would support what Bishop is saying. It is, if the Lord is with this, I mean, it's in this particular case, definitely, even if you're behind the curtains, you are not able to go out,
mm-hmm.
the Lord still can play out things for you. Because he's still, marriage is about God. He's the one who said it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the one who formatted really marriages. So I would indicate that that yes, there's a disability, but still God can cause that to happen, because I've seen people actually come into a relationship. Those people are in that decapitals, maybe blind people, and we are seeing weddings taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
It is very possible.
All right.
I was going to add, mm-hmm. it's just like opportunities for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They can find you when you are not looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And here I would want to give the example of David. He was busy taking care of his father's sheep. When Prophet Samuel came home, he went through all his brothers. He gets to a place where he's asking Jesse, don't you have another son?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even Samuel is doubting, did I hear God? I have been brought all the sons and there is none. And that's when they remember, we have a small brother who takes care of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But he ends up being the king, because that was God's will. And I would say it's the same with marriage. The brother that this sister may be waiting for may go through many other sisters that are visible, but God ensures that he does not find a girl among them.
Mm-hmm.
And the day they meet, it will be head over heels.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Yeah. And that encourages our sister there, and keep on keeping on.
Maybe what I would want there, Jack, is I think, not that the Lord cannot provide us as a spouse,
mm-hmm.
when somebody is still indoors, but I would also want to say that it's important that somebody should not say that I cannot go out because of my disability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereby somebody is kind of isolated, and will never go to interact with the community, with the public,
mm-hmm.
either place of worship or some other meetings, because some people, because you are in that kind of a situation, you may actually find yourself just saying, "I will never go out,"
mm-hmm.
and so you stay within the corridors of your house. We have seen depending on the disability
yes.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something that probably, and because we have seen our brothers and sisters still in this, even in wheelchair, and with the crutches, they still coming to worship. So that's the element I wanted to say, that you don't put yourself inside and that you will never go to interact with the public because of your condition, if it can allow you to go.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. And we're still looking at your live questions here on Breath of Heaven Family Tuesday. Go ahead and send them to 20933, WhatsApp on 0717-400-555. I see a brother here, Samuel is his name. Samuel says, communicating with the father once again. So he has put another twist to it, saying, I need some help from the man of God. How can I communicate effectively to our father if he is temporal? You know, I think akona asira or something. Mambo kama hayo. Kitaka kuzungumza na yeye. Yeah, the father is up there and you cannot, you know.
Well, assuming that's what he means, I think what is most critical for such people is to be courteous, to be, we talked about respect and honor. Nobody really can resist when you love them and when you are seen to be respectful of them. The Bible says that I'm paraphrasing, words that are well crafted in terms of the way you speak are like, you know, apples on a silver platter. And nobody will resist taking them. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Meaning that when you put your words well, even a wall will be broken. A wise person is said, actually, is in a position to save a city, and wisdom can be seen also in the words that you use and how you use your words. So yes, your father may be like that, but if you speak well, if you choose your words well, if you choose your timing properly, he will respond, and he may surprise others who think that he cannot. And I have seen this practically. I have seen people who cannot be spoken to, generally by other people, but there will be that one person who knows how to speak to so and so, and people say, only so and so anamweza. But it is because the so and so knows how to use his words when he's going to this person. So I would encourage this man, just learn the art of speaking, speaking nicely, and you will find that it will be possible.
You know, Jack, somebody is saying that blood is thicker than water.
True.
And the point is, as long as this is your dad, and this is your parent, I believe there's a connection which can never be broken. It doesn't matter actually the temperament, or maybe the dad is so kind of odd-tempered or something. The point at the end of the day, he is my son and this is your father. So I believe there will be always a soft spot at some point. I think, as Bishop has said, it also depends on how to stand there, your dad, so that you know how to engage him. Because some, you know, at the end of the day, wherever you go, of course, you always say, I have a dad. And I've seen this one happening whereby, even situations whereby somebody say, I am so far from my dad, we don't even talk. I talk with other people. But I am seeing some situations, like even when you are sick, sometimes they normally actually come. Or maybe you're going through some other difficult time, actually, these dads are able to come closer to you. So I think it is on how you actually engage your dad. And maybe you need to time him sometimes when he's not angry. You know, I think, because I think he cannot be all the time, whether day and night he's always angry. I think there would be some moments in the family whereby he couldn't be in high spirits. And actually you can engage him. So be encouraged, Sam. I think still push on, because you have only one dad.
All right. And the scripture that Bishop was talking about is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25 and verse 11. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is rightly given. You know, words, timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. I believe that's the one you're talking about. All right. And we carry on with more of your questions now. I see another one here. And this is a sister who says, I recently got promoted at work. I understand the principle of tithing well, and I do it comfortably. Please expound on fast fruit. What is expected when we talk about fast fruit? This is Monica in Karatina. Reverend Mugathia, would you like to attempt this question regarding fast fruit?
I think Bishop will hand that.
All right.
Of course, I'm going to add that. But I think, okay, first is congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should start there. And especially because you are born again, because you can't talk about fast fruit, really, if you're not born again. So we must appreciate. And also the desire also to give. Incidental, as I said in the beginning, this Sunday we are dealing with the issue of giving. So I am happy people really, they are in it, you know, giving to the Lord. So I would say that personally, how I understand, you know, first fruit is what the Lord has provided for you, because we have various kinds of giving. Of course, we have the normal offering. We normally give on Sundays or some other times. We have, of course, 10% also, whereby we tithe out of whatever God has given us. 10%, of course, what we have. We have also love offerings. Sometimes somebody feel like I just wanted to give a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would call the first fruit is if you have a job that you have gotten today, maybe this particular company, is that I would think that maybe you give quite a big portion of that money, or maybe you give almost all of it to the Lord as your first fruit that you have received that particular month. But Bishop can add to that. That's what I think.
First fruit.
Well, I think it is important for us to understand where the concept comes from. In the Old Testament, when you planted your crop, the first
harvest.
Mm-hmm. You see, it's not the whole harvest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The first, let's take, for example, fruits, for example, any fruit that ripen were the ones that were taken and were offered to God as a sign of saying, thank you that I am receiving something. Now, that is the concept that has been taken recently, and people have started saying, when you are employed, your first salary should be given to the Lord.
Mm.
And there are people who practice that. There are people who give a portion of their first salary, perhaps a significant amount, but it's difficult to say what is significant.
Mm-hmm.
I would say what is most critical is that this sister is willing to give, and she's already tithing, and I would encourage her to continue tithing. And if she is persuaded that she can give the first salary, well, go ahead and do it. But if you are not persuaded, I wouldn't condemn her. If you want to give her a large portion, not portion, but a large portion of what you have received as your first income, so be it. Yes.
All right. I hope that helps our sister there, Monica. Yesterday, we highlighted a bit on giving. We were having reflections here, some discussion, and thank you for bringing that to light, because I know that it is one area of concern. People wanted to get an understanding, and that is well put right there. Thank you, Monica, for the question. I see another one here saying, I've been praying and asking God about what ministry He has called me to do. Then I had a dream where I was asked what I do in God's ministry. Then I said evangelism. So does it mean that I'm called to evangelize? This from our sister Anne. Reverend Mungathi, would like to say something?
Yeah, thank you, Anne. I personally, as a pastor, whenever I hear people wanting to serve the Lord, I get excited, because the Bible says, isn't Jesus actually telling the disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but workers are few? So every moment I hear somebody want to serve the Lord, I'm always very excited. So, Anne, I think that's great. You know, if you've been praying for a while in terms of what you need to serve, and where to serve, rather, and you prayed and you saw like a vision that you're given to evangelism. Maybe I may not dispute that. Probably the Lord want to direct you to serve, you know, in evangelism. But having seen that also, I would say that, not that I'm doubting your dream, but also it is important maybe to understand exactly what are your giftings. And in various churches, people are normally taught. I may not know which church you belong, but a number of believers are normally equipped by the pastors to understand really what are the areas of giftings, what are the areas of the talents, that the giftings that you can serve in. And because there are several ministries, maybe through the exposure of training, you'll be able actually to understand your talent more, so that you do not maybe get to some other ministry that maybe you struggle. Because I believe the Lord has been able to shape us differently. There are those who can be able to do evangelism and outreach. Maybe others are called into worship. Others are called to be ushers in the church or media. So we are getting differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for Anne, I think it's good you saying that you seems like God directing you to serve in the evangelism. And maybe, who knows, God still speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is for you maybe to think, do you feel that probably you like telling people about the love of Jesus? Do you like maybe witnessing, whatever, in the bus or driving, whatever? Do you feel that urge? So I think it depends with where you are and how the Holy Spirit directing you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I would say on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bishop, you'd like to tell Anne something?
I think that's good counsel that he has she has received.
Mm-hmm.
And I would only add, even your friends, the people that know you, sometimes are the best test. They are the ones who can tell you, from what we see, you are like this, like that. And you can confirm using them. You may not even be close to your pastor, but there may be other Christians that are close to you who will be able to confirm that you're gifted in that way. However, having said all that, there are people who don't seem like they can do it, but they are given the gift by God and ability to do it.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't just rely on what people say. Maybe just to help our sister, I didn't think that I can be a public speaker because I was very shy and very, you know, reserved. I kept to myself. But that's what God brought out of me over time. But there was one person who kept very early calling me pastor. And at that point, I was not ready to be called pastor or even to be seen as one. But he identified the gift. And because I would say he was my discipler, he was able to discern what others could not have discerned and what I myself did not think I can ever be. So it's possible, but I would say test it. And there are also tests that you can, do even through, from the internet, that will tell you the kind of person that you can be. Some of them will tell you, for example, you can do well in public speaking, or you can do well as a salesperson. Then you start confirming, actually, then I am a person who can interact with others.
Mm-hmm.
And that may help you to actually get where you are gifted, because you are called of God to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. And we carry on with more of the questions that you are asking on 20933 WhatsApp 0717400555 at 20 minutes to 9 o'clock here on Breath of Heaven. Now, I have a question here from, this is a sister, and she's in a one-month relationship, just as she said here. I'm in a one-month-old relationship. I'm born again, and he is born again. The problem is that I had been involved in nasty things before I got fully transformed, saying I aborted, I engaged in masturbation. And when I met this man, I told him everything, you know, disclosure right there. And he got so heartbroken, but later he agreed. But at times he still says of or speaks of how it was a disappointment. Of course, for him to know all those things. But Navumilia too, Najua, I have to pay the cost. We have helpful mentors, but I still have to ask this. Is this safe for me? Yeah, that's what she has asked. I'm not sure what she is referring to, but probably, Bishop, you've understood there what she is saying.
I think she's asking, should I go on?
Mm-hmm.
Should I hold back?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, yes, there is possibility. Not there is possibility. He was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And most people would be. There are people who can get disappointed and forgive and are able to move on. That is more important. And perhaps what you should test is his capacity to actually forgive. But if it's a person who will keep on bringing it up all the time, it will only get worse, you know, even when you get married. And you don't want to be having, as it were, somebody that is being used of the enemy to remind you of what God has forgiven you and decided to forget. Because when we come to God, God forgives us fully and totally and sets us free. And you this sister should celebrate that. But you don't want somebody then who will come and start bringing condemnation, and it becomes like, as it were, a doorway for the enemy to bring you down. So please, over time, as you go through your courtship, ensure that he's the kind that forgives. And you can check that by, does he forgive other people out there? Or he keeps on talking how disappointing they were, or how, you know, is he historical? You know, he remembers things that happened long time ago with a sense of bitterness and perhaps resentment. And then you make a good decision before you walk the aisle to say, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good. Cancel there. Reverend Stanley.
Yes, I think I would say almost like what Bishop was saying, but I would say that also sometimes you may need maybe to understand also this man. Okay, first, actually, I should appreciate this sister, that she was able to, to bring out all the issues maybe to this man. But we say there's no more who is clean also. I guess if also this man maybe took some time maybe to explain about his life, maybe things were not being clean from the beginning. And so I would actually say that I think it's very important that, that for this particular relationship, he should not really think that she should be able to end this relationship. I think it's a matter of just understanding the situation the way it is, because you couldn't actually be, judging this man that probably is likely to cancel this relationship by issues maybe featuring.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, if these issues are not coming in their conversation and being told, you did this, I think she couldn't actually be seeing this man like, is likely to repeat these things even when he got married. But if there was forgiveness and between both of them, because the point is both of them actually are born again. So I think that's the first thing to celebrate. And if she was able to expose herself, what I did, and the Lord forgave her, and also this man, God forgave him, I think for me, I don't see any danger of him, going on with the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
As long as this man is not mentioning that you did this and you did the other, I think they can comfortably get married as long as they actually have a very clean foundation of understanding each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
But right. She has said,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as they go on, he is mentioning,
he is putting it.
So I would still be mm-hmm. cautious,
mm-hmm.
yes. And I had said my piece,
mm-hmm.
but I would still say, be cautious.
Yeah,
the fact that you are saved does not necessarily mean that you make a good couple
mm-hmm.
for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen people who come together and they are both saved,
yeah,
but they have ended up in disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So you still need to be careful. Yes, you need to be both saved. It's the first thing. But there are other things that you also need to make, to ensure that you are compatible about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that, Bishop. Then I see another one here coming through. This one is from a friend who says, I have never had a close or friendly relationship with my father. He rejected me when I was a child and would mistreat me so much and even kept calling me a prostitute. So this is a lady. Whenever he wanted to have a quarrel with my stepmom, he came through me by starting by insulting me first, even beating me sometimes. When I got saved 4 years ago, I forgave him. I've been trying to connect with him, but no success. Because even my calls, he wouldn't pick, even if I send my regards on Father's Day. Now I am a mother and would like him to meet my grandchildren, because he's old. I wouldn't like him to pass on before ever seeing this generation, which is yet to, since I am the one who has kids. My eldest brothers have no children. Please help me on this, how to go about it. And saying, by the way, he's very arrogant, as she has put it here, and know it all, that he believes no one can tell or advise him. It's now almost 10 years since we met. Yeah, that's the scenario a lady has painted there. Wow. Bishop would like to
since
say something.
We met.
Yes, yeah, probably since we were together. Let me put it that way. Yeah,
oh,
since we were together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or since they last met.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
A very sad situation there.
Mm-hmm.
But not... I think what this sister needs to realize is that people have their own minds, and people will have their own issues, but you also are called to live a certain lifestyle. And the lifestyle you are to live is not to be totally dependent on other people. And so for her, I would say the Bible commands her, honor your father and mother, and the Lord will bless you with many days, many years to live. So let her honor her father, let her honor her mother. In this case, we are talking about the father.
Mm-hmm.
Let her do all the good that she can do within her power. For example, visiting him with the children. Even if he is reacting, he has seen them. If you go and see him and give him something, I doubt that he will throw it away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would tell this sister, do what you can and what is within your power to do, and leave him with his baggage, either to sort them out. Much as you will pray for him, much as you will try to win him over, but also remember, he may choose to do his own things and never become what you want or you would want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I think, my sister, you need first, of course, to forgive yourself, because you may feel like you've been eaten by your dad, and also to forgive your dad as well. Because there could be something that could be inside you by the fact that actually the dad seems not, kind of forgiving because of the past you mentioned, because of many things you did in the past, and it doesn't regard you at all. I think you need to forgive him so that in a space whereby the forgiveness has taken place. But having seen that, also there shouldn't be effort, as Bishop has said, or now can I reach out to my dad? Because you should actually avoid a situation whereby you say, I also don't want to see him and let me stay with my children and all that. I think there shouldn't always be that determination, because again, I am born and again, I must appreciate you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, you can tell that, the Lord has made you a Christian in that particular family for a reason. And the Bible says we shouldn't be peacemakers. So your dad has no interest, having good relationships. I think you should be, as a believer, try to find the means to create actually peace within the family. Because as long as you're in that kind of a situation whereby, you say, dad doesn't want to see me, doesn't want to see my kids, I think get closer. It's 10 years now, you say, since you met.
Mm-hmm.
I think just make some baby steps. in some forums and see whether you can be able to reach out to your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, as I said earlier on, blood is thicker than water. Somehow you're going to have a sport, a soft spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe in some situation.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's look at this question here from George, saying, my question is, I've been born again, but for a while I haven't been able to attend church. Sometimes I feel like I have failed God, especially based on the life I live now. Kindly advice. This is from our brother George. He says, yes, he has been born again, but for a while he's not been attending church. Sometimes he feels like he has failed God, especially based on the life that he's living right now. He has not told us exactly the kind of life, but he feels that he has been failing God some way, somehow. So how do you advise this brother?
Where he feels he has failed God, repent. Secondly, salvation is not a function of attending church. Thirdly, it is very important to attend church. We are told not to forsake the assembling together of brethren, because that's where we get encouragement. And this has been illustrated, you know, like the fire that we make with wood. If you take one piece when they are burning together and put it aside, it will burn out. But when they are together, they psych each other to burn.
Yes.
It's the same with fellowship. When we are together, we help each other. So you need to repent where you feel that you have failed, because we don't know what you're talking about when you say the life you're living now.
Mm-hmm.
And then get back to church. And God is willing to receive you. He's not condemning you. He saves those who accept that they need salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He forgives those who ask for forgiveness, those who recognize that they need forgiveness. So those are the three things that I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also say that it is not just being in church that saves you. There are many people who are in church that are lost, maybe even more lost than people that don't go to church.
Yeah.
But those who are Christians need church.
Mm-hmm.
They need fellowship. They need the encouragement of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right, Bishop. And Jack, actually the question I would have asked, this is George.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is that is making you not to go to church?
He says written here that he's having a job in hospitality it doesn't allow him to attend church.
Yeah, maybe mm-hmm. not get that. Mm-hmm. I find also quite a number of people of that. Because you're working maybe in an hotel, you know, in a restaurant. So most of the time you work even on Sunday. I've met quite a couple of people when I ask them, do you go to church? He said, no, this job cannot allow me to go to church. I think you could be genuine in that. I think what I've told some of the people I meet who say, because I work on Sunday, I'm not able to go. Not even in hospitality. Some people also work in some place like hospital. I normally say if you have a desire to go to church, there's a way you can work out your program, if possible, because I appreciate George as a desire to go to church,
mm-hmm.
the way he's asking. So if it's because of work, I think somehow you can work out logistics to see how actually you can go to church, because it's important, as Bishop said, is going to go and worship with other people. But also having seen that also, I think we have found that sometimes people have fellowship also where they work.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, God can somehow provide some situations where I've seen some companies, people begin with prayer, you know, people pray in those companies. Maybe you can actually also initiate those kind of programs if in a way they can be allowed, whereby you can be able to pray probably in a particular restaurant or whatever before even the work starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say basically just pursue it. I think finally you may be able to manage actually to go to church, but don't backslide because you don't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually pray.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand in the word of God even without going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think I want to say we could speculate because we don't know
exactly
the specifics about
mm-hmm.
George.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly want to go to church, like Reverend has said, you will make every effort to try to go to church. If you don't want to go to church, you will use your job as an excuse for not going to church. And then you will treat going to church with a sense of legalism. I have backslidden because I don't go to church. Mm. Not because you desire to, but because it has become a legalistic expectation. And there is a difference between a person who truly wants to go to church, can't go to church genuinely so, and a person who can go to church but who has allowed his circumstances, all her circumstances, not to go to church. Mm-hmm. And George needs to identify, is he in one or the other? Mm-hmm. Where does he belong? If you are the kind that don't want to go to church and you are using this as an excuse, then you stand condemned or you stand accused. But if you are the kind that want to go to church but you genuinely can't go to church, then you are as it were free. But it's you to judge yourself and your circumstances. Mm. And that is important for George to know. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Time allows us to tackle those questions tonight. And God willing, next month on Tuesday, it is next week, yes, next month, we'll be having a conversation of this sort and giving you an opportunity to answer questions, to ask questions which will be answered here with our guest pastors. So I want us to pray as we conclude this hour. We've heard about communication. We've heard about matters to do with our relationship with our fathers again, coming up again and again, that the Lord may help us in that regard. So I'll invite Bishop to pray with us, then Reverend Stanley will conclude.
Heavenly Father, you have the monopoly of wisdom, and we want to thank you because every person that has asked a question, everybody that had a question and didn't ask, is your child. And you are able to reach them. You created them. You are able to answer their questions. And even those that we attempted to answer, and perhaps they were not meeting the criteria or meeting the expectation of your people, you are able to add on to it. We pray that you will do exactly that, so that your people will not have an excuse in any matter. And Lord, we pray that even as we talked about communication, you would help us from this day to make every effort to communicate with our friends, to communicate with our siblings, with our parents, with our children, to communicate all around with our colleagues in an effective, in a God-honoring manner, so that your glory will continue being radiated through our communication. We also want to communicate effectively with you. So teach us how to pray, yes, and Lord, how to address you in a manner that is acceptable. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We are grateful, mighty Father, because you hear us when we call. It is you said, we ask, we shall receive, we seek, we will find, and we knock the door, and the doors will be open for us. We thank you because you're already hearing, God. You also are speaking, God. We want to pray in the name of Jesus for those who feel that maybe they are not loved by their families, who are going through some challenges, whether sons and daughters in a particular family or children or even couples, Almighty Father. We want to pray that you bring us a great environment and fellowships in our families, O God, so that our families are going to grow well in the ways of the Lord. We want to pray even tonight, Lord, even for those who are in separated marriages, those who are maybe orphans, single parents, and widowers, Lord, and even the widows who are seeking some support in terms of fellowships. We want to pray that also you'll be reach out to them, and because you are the one who can speak to them even directly. So we ask you for healing in our relationships, in the family setups, oh God, so that at the end of the day, the family will be strong, because you're going to be the center of every family, because you are the author of every family. We thank you for being with us tonight. Blessed be your name. For this we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you, Reverend Mangathia, for coming through and sharing great insights regarding communication and the questions that were tackled tonight. And as you prayed, God of all wisdom will grant us the wisdom on how best to communicate with Him, communicate with one another in a way that pleases Him. And I pray that God will also refresh you as Amen. We continue with the time of waiting on Him and praying and all that, that God may hear our prayer and come through for us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
God
good night.
Bless you too.
Bless you Amen. Too. Amen.
And all our listeners.
Amen.
Thank you, Jack.
Amen.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road, a sinner so far from home, no second.
Jimmy DeSamest, the song is titled Great and Mighty is Our God. He deserves all our praises. He deserves all our worship. He is a good God. He is a good Father, present with us in various circumstances. And the fact that we are alive tonight is because he allowed it to be so, that we may experience His goodness. We may learn to depend upon Him. We may learn to trust in Him. We may learn to honor Him in all that we do and say. In the previous hour, we had a wonderful time of learning as we asked those live questions, those who've been able to answer tonight. I believe they've been eye-openers for us to know where we are at in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And in such a time when we are looking at our families and all, it's good always to get the advice and pray to God for wisdom on how best to apply what we have learned, the knowledge now being translated to action. Now, in this hour, we will pray together and also spend time in the Word of God, because as we do so, we get to hear God. We get to understand what He is communicating to us through His Word, that we may not lead a life that is amiss. We want to lead a life that honors our Father and our God. Well, in the life of a Christian, we encounter this powerful word, grace. And many have given this particular word meanings. And probably you've had a person saying grace is God's unmerited favor. You've had someone say that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, when I look at grace in and of itself, how God has revealed it to us, He has told us, even through His Word, that He freely gives salvation to those who believe in Jesus. That's grace. And we can't earn it, nor do we deserve it. However, our Father does notice when we live according to His will, and He promises to reward us according to what we have done for Him. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, and verse 10, the Bible says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. That's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 10. And later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 12, the Bible says, Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to reward each one as his work deserves. Whether large or small, service done in the name of Jesus will be blessed. We must be careful then that our actions are for Christ's glory. If motives are self-serving, the only benefit we receive is the praise, if any, that we hear from people in this life. Now, while we look forward to rewards that will be given in heaven, some blessings can be experienced now, here and now, here on earth. In addition, there is a profound sense of fulfillment when we lead a person to Jesus and teach him or her how to walk by faith, not by sight, by faith. And tonight, we're still reminded that we are servants. Jesus said that he came to serve, not to be served. And serving others is both a great benefit and a responsibility. We should prayerfully consider our motives to make sure that our goal in whatever we do is to glorify Christ. Only then will we receive God's full blessings. And tonight, I don't know where you're at in terms of your relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If not, tonight is the night that you can make that decision for Jesus, to allow him to be your Lord and Savior. While you're here on earth, you will know for sure that you've been forgiven, because you sought forgiveness from our Father who forgives, and he holds no record of sin. In fact, it is as though you've never sinned when he forgives you. Just as far as east is from the west, that's how he has separated our sins from us. And so, let us receive this blessing. First of all, the blessing of salvation, if you've not made that decision for Christ. And if you've already made this decision, yes, we are called to serve. Share with others what Jesus has done for you. And allow them also to respond to this message of salvation. And ultimately, let them be part of this great family of God. And I believe that this grace that is sufficient, you know, nobody is saved because of their good works, not at all. We are saved by faith and through grace, that grace that God has so bestowed upon us. And we have this faith in God, and making sure that we have believed that that finished work at the cross of Calvary indeed was true, and grace that is imputed on us, that now we are called the children of God. And as I said, as we are forgiven, it is as though we had never sinned before. He has separated our sins from us, and he would desire of us to live for him all the days of our lives, to be his good ambassadors, even as we serve others, as we live for him here, to cause an impact to those who are around us.
Bwana, nahitaji neema yako. Bila wewe, siwezi chochote. Hallelujah.
Bwana, Mungu wangu, niko kitini pako, ewe Bwana. Kuna uzima
Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sin. He is able to do that. Anyone who comes to him, he shall by no means cast away. For he came to bring life and bring it in abundance. The evil one, the enemy, comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life in abundance. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Pray this prayer after me. Pray, dear Jesus, I come to you tonight. I believe that you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, to save me. You did what I could not do for myself. Tonight, I forsake all my sinful ways and embrace the gift of salvation. Thank you for tonight. I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Thank you, for I'll spend all eternity with you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for praying that prayer. We invite you. You're now part of our big family, and would like to hear from you. Get in touch with us Text us on 20933 or WhatsApp on 0717-400-555. That is 0717-400-555 on WhatsApp. SMS line 20933. And we would really, really appreciate to hear from you. We encourage you to join a Bible-believing church and serve God there while at it. May the Lord help you as you disciple others. You know, now that you have given your life to Jesus, you also want others to come to Jesus, to be followers of Jesus. And we go on and on as we await His second coming. I also want to share scripture with you tonight as I remind you the importance of reading His Word, allowing His Word to, you know, dwell richly in our hearts as we communicate with Him through prayer and hearing His Word being spoken, being preached, being taught, and as we read the Word for ourselves. Psalm 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I am in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." That's from the book of Psalms, Psalm 4 and verse 1. Glorious God, we are here tonight to worship you. Thank you for you are a good, good Father, present with us in various circumstances. Jehovah Shammah, we've seen you reveal yourself in great ways in our lives. When we look at what you have done for us, when we look at our relationship with you and even with others, Lord, we can see how good you've been to us, reminding us to love you. And also to love others just as much as we love ourselves. And Father, tonight, as we have been having this conversation revolving around your grace that is sufficient for us and that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, that tonight this beloved one who has joined us in faith and prayed that salvation prayer, that now they are part of this big family, I want to thank you for each and every one of them for this great, great faith that they have in you, knowing that you are the one who saves, you are the one who forgives, you are the one who redeems, you're the one who takes us from the miry clay and you place us high upon a rock that we may serve you, that we may live for you all the days of our lives, even as we look forward to the second coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for this divine moment that you also gave us to have conversation with your servants who came over to even look at the various questions that were answered tonight. Lord, many are seeking for answers, but no, Lord, we know that you are the one who knows all the answers. You're the all-knowing, all-seeing God, the omniscient God. And we are grateful tonight that you've been able to hear the cries of your children, those who are still seeking for answers regarding their life currently, where they are at, even their relationship with others, probably their spouses, probably their children, probably their parents, probably their relatives. A lot is happening there. We are praying that, Lord, there will be reconciliation. I'm praying that, Lord, there will be open communication. That's our desire, that we may respect one another when we are communicating a certain message, and even regarding the one who is receiving this message, how they respond to this message. And we're also praying that, Lord, there will be wisdom on how to process messages that we are given, the communication that we are given, because probably at times we react, and rightly so, because there's the message that comes and how it comes. At times it might, in one way or the other, disrupt the way we think. And so, Lord, help us to have the right response whenever we communicate. And as we communicate, Lord, we pray that we may communicate in the right manner, in an effective manner. And tonight, Lord, want to thank you for various spouses represented here tonight, those who have been having issues with communication, that Lord, you're helping them. You're helping them have wisdom in this regard. And those who have not been talking to one another, those who have not been having time to fellowship with one another, I pray that it shall become a reality, that we'll have that desire to fellowship with one another. And so, Lord, tonight, as a family, we ask of you that you bind us together with your cord of love that can never be broken. We are praying for restoration, for lost love, those who are no longer appreciating their spouses, no longer appreciating their children, probably because of something that happened along the line, along their fellowship, along their journey of knowing one another. We pray that, Lord, you will help us. You will help us look at what is dividing us and be able to deal with it in an amicable way. We thank you, Father, also for your word. Every other time you speak your word would find a rightful place in our hearts. Your word, whenever you speak it, O Lord, it will not go back to you void without accomplishing that purpose of which it is meant. Tonight, Lord, as you send your word of healing, let this beloved one receive healing in the name of Jesus. They've been depressed. They've been oppressed. They've been having all manner of things that the evil one has held them bound with. I pray that tonight they are being set free. Lord, you're speaking your word of freedom upon this brother, upon this sister, that they may be freed from all manner of fear, from all manner of addictions. That, Lord, they would remember that we are no longer slaves to fear, but we are your children. We are your children. You have bought us with a price, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us at the cross of Calvary. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that reminder. Even as we pray for those who are already in the family setting, that those who at some point they have been separated because of one thing or the other, matters to do with infidelity, matters to do with trust issues here and there, we pray that, Lord, you also help them to heal in the name of Jesus. You're the one who binds the broken hearts. Lord, visit this beloved one. Let them find peace in you. Let them find joy in you. Let them find meaning and purpose in you. And so, Lord, even for those who have been divorced, for those who have been separated, those who are widows, widowers, we pray for them as well. Single parents, a father who is taking care of children, a mother who is taking care of children, we pray for them as well. Lord, you are provider. You are the one who would rise up and all your enemies shall be scattered in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we pray, we still pray for provision. For you've been providing for us before. You're still providing right now. For this beloved one is saying, provide for us, Lord. Provide for us as a family. Provide for me as an individual. Lord, I pray that you will remember them being our provider, our Jehovah Jireh. You're coming through for this one. And even this one who is trusting you for an open door, for a job, or even to start a business, Lord, I pray that you will make it a reality. Let it come to pass that this beloved one would be able to land that job, will be able to go to that place of employment and serve you there. And even this one who is unwell, just seeking healing, Father, seeking bed, Lord, speak your word of healing upon them. Jehovah Rapha, you are healing this beloved one tonight in the name of Jesus. And even for children in this week, as they are preparing, others for exams, others as they're preparing to end their term, I pray that, Lord, you will be with them. And I pray for protection even as they travel from one point to the other going home. I pray that you'll be with them. Even their teachers, I pray that you will watch over them. As a nation, as a people, Lord, we still desire you to come through for us, to protect this nation, Lord, to watch over this nation and even our neighbors and nations around the world. We pray that we will continue to be your good ambassadors, just as you've called us to serve. Lord, I pray that we will play our role well. Even for those who desire to serve you in various ministries that you have called them, they have that desire. They want to be prophets. They want to be teachers. They want to be evangelists. Lord, whatever you have placed in the heart of this beloved one to serve, I pray that you reveal it to them. That those who are asking questions again and again, is it this direction that God wants me to go? Is that other direction that God wants me to go? Lord, I pray for clarity. I pray for discernment on the direction to take. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're helping us, that as we serve you as the body of Christ in this nation, that Lord, men shall be drawn to you even as we exalt your holy name, as we remain steadfast, as we remain devoted to you. Lord, I pray that men and women shall know you for a fact and make up their minds to come to you in droves, saying that we believe in Jesus. We want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. We want to live for him all the days of our lives. Lord, find us faithful. That's our prayer tonight. Even as we gather together, your servants, your children, Lord, you are hearing our cry, and you will bless us as families. You will bless us as a nation. Peace shall be our portion. Our posterity will be blessed. Our going out and our coming in, Lord, shall be blessed. And as we utter words of blessing upon our children, our children's children, that, Lord, those blessings shall be with them, even to the 100th generation. Father, we are so, so grateful and privileged to be here at such a time as this, that we may pray for one another, that we may encourage one another, even as we see the day approaching, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It may be any time now. Lord, we desire that we may remain faithful to you, and that we may live for you and be your good ambassadors. Lord, we thank you tonight, for you've heard our prayer. Every prayer request that has been sent tonight, every praise report that has been shared tonight, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for it is already done. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.